Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Casa Connection podcast. I am Jeff Warren, and I'm here with my awesome boss. We have the one and only...
Tracy Heisler. Awesome boss. I'm just going to answer to that now.
Absolutely. That, and I'm going to tell the staff here, that's how we need to address you from here on out, my friend.
One of our staffers, she always calls me the man because she knows I hate it. So she's like, well, you're the man.
You're the man. You're the man. Exactly. We have a great podcast coming your way this week and a timely one as well. We want to talk about the many issues surrounding foster care as it pertains to getting kids back to school, getting foster youth back to school, some of the challenges that persist for them during this time of year, uncertainty, you know, even some fears, and what resources might there be out there for foster youth, you know, at whatever age, who are going to be heading back to school.
Absolutely, Jeff. And school can be a really challenging issue for kids in care.
Yeah.
Here in New Jersey, several years back, the legislature passed a school stability legislation so that kids in foster care had the right to stay in their home schools.
Yeah.
If their placements are far away, though, you know, that's a lot of time on the bus, but they at least have that continuous, uninterrupted continuity of their education.
I remember when I first started here at CASA many, many years ago, there was a story about how it was after this was put into place, this law was put into place, but there was a kid that was on the bus for close to an hour.
Exactly. And
I remember that. It was kind of heartbreaking. It was great that the child was able to stay within that school district that they were familiar with, because familiarity is so important for youth in foster care in general, aside from education. But the fact that this youth had to spend 2 hours a day on the school bus, that's a lot.
It is a lot. And it disrupts the opportunity to do things like after school sports and stuff like that. There's never a clean solution where there's no cost, but there's always a cost to something, right, when you get it.
Exactly. But I think it's also important to recognize, too, that even though that law does exist, there are foster youth that do get moved around from school to school, to school district to school district. And it's important that our CASA volunteers are there for them during that time to help provide, one, the stability for at least some sort of stability, that once a month meeting, if not more, but that once a month meeting, that stability. And we are also to help provide them school supplies here and there as well. And we try to do that. I mean, we're not an agency that is, you know, a school supply bank or anything, but we're able to help provide school children with, you know, pencils, pens, crayons, book bags, things that they need, the tools they need to succeed.
Well, and I'll tell you, it used to be that that was definitely a big part of our back to school push, was making sure that all the kids had the staples. But with the pandemic, so many of our kids have transitioned to using Chromebooks that they're not asking for pens, pencils, backpacks, anything like that anymore. So it's very interesting to me how even the landscape of education has changed for kids in foster care. We've talked a lot about the changes that we've seen with Family First legislation, of the Department of Children and Families trying to keep kids in the home, of providing more in-home supports before kids have to be removed, which is all fantastic. But I don't know that anybody calculated in a worldwide pandemic that was going to disrupt school.
Right.
So we actually got notification today that August 31st is the deadline for parents or caregivers to apply for kids to stay an extra year at school if COVID disrupted
their
education.
Yeah, that's great.
So that deadline is looming.
And that's just here in New Jersey for folks, correct?
You know,
is this New Jersey federal, or
it's just New Jersey, but I'll Google it while we're talking.
Okay, sounds good. I mean, at the end of the day, what we want to do, again, is provide some sort of stability for foster youth during this critical time of the year. Because not only do we see foster youth who are removed during the course of the summer, and that uncertainty about whether or not they're going to be going from elementary school to middle school, or from middle school to high school, or just a completely new school district where they're not going to have familiarity with friends, with other acquaintances. It's interesting to see what other CASA programs have been doing throughout New Jersey, throughout the country as well, with regard to back to school. And again, it's not just about the school supplies, but inevitably making sure that children have the tools in order to succeed, because a lot of foster youth have gone through trauma. They have gone through just terrible atmosphere, terrible environments, abuse, neglect, and you want to make sure that they have the tools at school to be able to succeed. And in a bit, we're going to get into, you know, how important IEPs are, individual education plans, 504 plans for foster youth and just youth in general who will need that. I don't know. Do you have any information for us with regard to that deadline?
The only thing that I'm seeing is that Congress has allocated $189 billion for public schools K through 12. To help support them.
So it is federal based. Okay. It is federal based. Okay.
Whether or not those guideline exists federally, statewide, throughout the nation, I don't know. But it's a good thing to check with your school district sooner rather than later.
Yep.
Just to make sure. So you may have heard me mention before, I have a special needs child.
Yep.
And she's turning 21 actually in 3 days.
All right.
So technically she would be done now with school, but because of the COVID funding and the deficits in her occupational therapy and things, the school just automatically re-upped her for the new year.
Yeah.
We didn't have to do anything. So the fact that 68% of kids in foster care have IEPs,
yep,
really speaks to the need to make sure that they're getting every available service.
Absolutely. And for folks that may not know what an IEP is, again, an individualized education plan where that particular student has a plan of action. They work with the guidance counselor, their various teachers, the various teams that are within the school to make sure that that student has all that they need, whether it's extra time to complete tests and exams, whether it's extra time specifically focusing on a certain subject matter. The individualized education plans, and I know this because my daughter has one, you know, are so very beneficial. And it's important that if you're listening to this, you know, whether or not you're a biological family member, resource parent, whether or not you're a CASA volunteer or whatever, that these tools are out there and available.
Well, we know, or at least it has been my experience, that working with the school system can be overwhelming.
And challenging, yes.
There's a lot in there, mm-hmm, and they're not always ready to do the things that that can help our children if it costs something out of their budget. So if you've listened to this podcast before, you know about our family series, family training series that we've been putting out. And one of them was educational advocacy for foster youth.
Yes.
And it speaks to how to go step by step to accessing those resources and asking for what kids need.
Absolutely. And part of that too, within the CASA family video series and the educational resource or the educational resource video that we have put up there also talks about 504 plans as well, Tracy. Do you mind telling folks, you know, what a 504 plan is for individuals who may not know?
I will tell you that is not my wheelhouse.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
No, I will not, Jeff.
A 504 plan is if there is a special need specifically for that child. I'm so sorry to put you on the spot there.
No, ours is an IEP. It may fall under 504, yeah, but mm-hmm, I mean, we've always looked at the components of the IEP for our child of, you know, these are the things that the goals that the school has for them. Here are the supports that they're putting in place, whether it's occupational therapy, speech therapy, whatever it happens to be, how many times a week. And then every year they reevaluate the progress.
Yep, absolutely. Goals. 504 plans generally tend to happen, I think, before an IEP. And I do know this because my wife is an elementary school counselor, so she has brought me into the fold in terms of what 504 plans are. And quite frankly, one of my daughters has a 504 plan too. Part of that is due to some anxiety-based issues that she was having, she may be able to take a break for a little bit with something. Go to the counselor's office, even if it's for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, maybe play with some widgets in order to get some of the things out that she needed to get out. And that was when she was in elementary school. Now that she's in middle school, does not need that. But 504 plans also cover allergies. If there's peanut allergies in school, hazelnut allergy, whatever the case is, mm-hmm. 504 plans will cover that. And it's important that folks know that these plans are out there throughout every single school district in America.
Yeah, they're federally mandated.
Exactly. To make sure that kids have the tools to be able to succeed in school. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, Tracy.
Exactly. My kiddo's on the autism spectrum. And so one of the things, the side effects of that is handwriting is hard.
Yes.
So she's given the opportunity to be able to type things out if she would rather.
Yes.
She also, with the autism, has a slower processing speed. She's super smart, but it just takes her a little longer to understand all the component parts.
So that's kind of like my daughter too. My daughter has some executive functioning type of issues, mm-hmm. and she's a smart kid. Exactly. She is a smart kid. It just takes a few more seconds. And in this day and age, in this world where things are so instantaneous, I'm snapping my fingers here, so instantaneous, and even from a teaching standpoint, you want your students to instantaneously provide you with an answer to something or what have you, there can be challenges to that.
Exactly. And so I think it's important to find out what it is that your CASA child needs
yes.
and then fight for it.
Absolutely. And as Tracy actually mentioned a little earlier in our discussion here, we do have what's called a CASA family video series. It's on our YouTube channel. That's where it's housed. And we're continuing to put videos up that can help resource parents, biological parents, or community in general when it comes to an array of issues that touch the world of foster care, and specifically within the this conversation, the educational advocacy. So please go over to youtube.com. You can go to youtube.com, and I believe youtube.com/CASA Shaw. I think we have that handle, but if we don't, just search CASA Shaw on YouTube, head to our channel, and you can see our playlist there of all the family video series.
For sure. So I can tell you one of the things that we have been able to help with through over the last couple of years is providing Chromebooks. And we've actually provided some for parents as well, so because they didn't have access to the student portal without a computer
right.
to be able to keep track of their kids' grades, attendance, things like that.
Yep.
So if that's a $300 way to help support a child's educational needs.
Absolutely.
Like I said, we're not really don't have the backpacks and binders and things to that degree anymore.
Right.
I mean, we get them.
And that's our program too. That's our program too. There are other CASA programs throughout New Jersey that do have book bag drives, and they're still doing that. Yeah,
exactly. And that's a needed resource for some communities. Like
yes.
I said, in ours, everything's transitioned to the Chromebooks
yep.
and to the Google Classrooms. So whatever it is that your child's needs are, it's a matter of interfacing with the school, asking
yes.
the question, how can we prepare them best? So in addition to the material supplies, there's also just keeping track of what's going on. So many of our kids, particularly those who've experienced significant trauma, school can be hard. They're being hypervigilant, scanning their environment, making sure everything is safe, while they're also being asked to read a paragraph, understand it, deconstruct it,
yep.
write an essay,
yep.
do an algebraic equation, and it can be really hard. So another core component, I think, in my opinion, for kids to do well in school, elementary, middle, high school, whatever it is they need to feel safe.
Yep.
So what are some things that you could suggest for your child's classroom, for the teacher? In speaking with teachers about how to interact with your child, of how you speak to them, is it sharp? Are they embarrassed if you call them out in the middle of class in front
right.
of their peers?
Yeah.
There's special considerations for kids who've experienced trauma that we should all be aware of to make sure that school is a safe space where
absolutely.
They feel like they can learn.
Absolutely. If there is a child in school who's having some issues, it very well could be that there are issues that they're having outside of the school as well. And whether or not it's with their parents, their resource parents, whether it's their atmosphere at home, family environment, what have you, it's important also that as a CASA volunteer, or just if you are a parent in general, communicate effectively with guidance counselors. The guidance counselor in your school is an advocate for your child at the end of the day. And yes, not every guidance counselor out there is perfect by any stretch, but that's their jobs, to help point children in the right direction and to give them the tools that they need to be successful within that school year and just in school in general. So please try to communicate effectively with your school counselors, your child's school counselors, and I think you'll see some positive results.
Well, and the other thing that I would add is do attend the IEP meetings.
Absolutely.
Read the IEPs, yeah. Look through it, see is there anything that you know that helps your kid that's not in there.
Yep.
And speak up and advocate for it. Oftentimes, I think many of us in our interactions with teachers, with guidance counselors, with doctors, with dentists, whoever, people who are in a position of authority, we tend to just step back and say, well, we'll let you take the lead because you're the expert.
Exactly.
But you're the expert on your child.
Yeah, and, that is a great point.
They need to hear that perspective.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And I think that's going to do it for us here on this particular CASA Connection episode. We hope you found it valuable. Please share this episode with your friends, your family members, your colleagues. We hope it was helpful. And remember, head on over to CASASHAW.org, our website, and we have our resource page where we have our CASA family video series that we were talking about earlier, amongst so many other resources. Again, CASASHAW.org. We are on Instagram at CASA_Shaw. And you can like our Facebook page too. Search us out there. We would love to have you following us and like our page there. Tracy, do you have anything else before we head out this week here?
Just that I hope that everyone has a wonderful, happy school year where kids are thriving.
Absolutely.
There was a time when my child was really struggling with school refusal. The pandemic was very, very hard on her.
Yeah.
But we've found, knock on wood, in our family, the secret sauce to help her thrive. And she was on the honor roll all year last year.
Fantastic.
She's in band. Has friends.
Fantastic. Yes.
And so I have seen the power of getting the right tools to make sure that your kid can thrive.
Absolutely. So. Same here with me. I mentioned my daughter earlier. The tools are there, folks. You can use them, utilize them. Reach out to us if you have any questions. info@CASASHAW.org. And I know Tracy and or I would be happy to get back to you with information and resources. So
you betcha.
That's going to do it for us here. We will catch you on the next CASA Connection podcast. Take care, everyone.
Have a great day.